This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
I'd like to welcome you all here today, tonight, Sunday after Pentecost. We'll follow the order of service received on the way in. For those watching online, if you're using Divine Service 4 from the Lutheran Service Book, hymn numbers 807, 731, 781, 607, 663, 863, and 794. Someone here can serve it, if you would fill out the record of fellowship that's in your pew rack. And also, we are reinstating the common cup today for communion. If you prefer the common cup, just don't take one of the individual cups, and then kind of hold your hands a little open so the elders can see that, that you're wanting the common cup. Well, we'll follow the order of service, beginning on page 3 of Confession and Absolution, followed by the sharing of peace and the processional hymn. Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us kneel and be seated with confession of sin. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, whose mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us rise and share the peace of the Lord with one another.
Thank you.
mighty and most merciful God, the protector of all who trust you. Strengthen our faith and give us courage to believe that in your love you will rescue us from all adversities. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the reading of our lessons from God's Holy Word.
Singing the Hallelujah Verse.
Sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against him. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out. For they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astonished, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring sick people to on their beds, to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch him, even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
It's time to think we'll be seated. We'd like the youngsters of the congregation and ministers to come forward to the children.
It's good because not only do we forget promises, we have all kinds of things that all go right. God has everything in his plan, and he promises that he'll take care of us. You say a prayer with me? You ready, Martha? Dear God, thank you for your promises. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and make us know your love and your peace and salvation through your Son. Amen. You know what tastes like a rainbow? Tastes like a rainbow? You like Skittles?
Yeah.
Every time you see a rainbow and have Skittles, remember that God loves you so much and he never forgets us.
We continue at the sermon hymn, O God, Forsake Me Not, on page 7. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Rainbows are kind of magical. When you see one, you want to share it with others. Hey, look, there's a rainbow. You go inside to get the rest of the family to come out and look at the rainbow before it goes away. When I was growing up, my mother would celebrate rainbows by getting all us kids a popsicle. We could celebrate the rainbow. Rainbows conjure up all kinds of thoughts and memories. Leprechauns and legends of pots of gold at the end of the rainbow. Judy Garland singing "Over the Rainbow Where Troubles Melt Like Lemon Drops." Kermit the Frog singing "Rainbow Connection." Rainbows are kind of amazing. If you look it up, a rainbow is a meteorological phenomenon that is caused by reflection, refraction, and dispersion of light in water droplets, resulting in a spectrum of light appearing in the sky. It takes the form of a multicolored circular arc. Sometimes definitions can kind of burst the magical bubble. We don't go outside, "Hey, look, look, it's the light reflected, refracted, and dispersed." But a rainbow is not just reflection, refraction, and dispersion of light. The rainbow is a powerful sign. The rainbow holds great significance. The rainbow is the sign of the covenant that God established between himself and all flesh that is on earth. In Genesis 9, "When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh." You see a rainbow, and it is the sign of God's covenant with all flesh and his covenant with you, that he will never again destroy the earth with a flood. The rainbow reminds God of his promise and reminds you of his promise. This is good news for you. And it was very good news for Noah and his family. Traumatic events can have a lingering effect on people, and Noah and his family have been through the ringer. For decades, they must have endured ridicule for building a huge boat where there was no water, all the while they know what's coming for anyone who's not on the ark when the rain comes. As they enter the ark, 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet tall, it's casket-shaped. As they enter there, they know that life will never be the same. For the Lord had promised, "I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them." 7 days after entering the ark, the rains began and the waters rose and the ark floated up off the ground. And Noah and his family know that all the other people and animals with breath of life in them are drowning. Once in the ark, Noah and his family endured a year of isolation with very little sunlight while they cared for the animals that would eventually repopulate the earth. The whole experience must have been terribly hard on the 8 souls in the ark. So much death, so much uncertainty, not to mention just the smell of their floating zoo. Such a long year sealed in a floating casket. You've got to imagine that after they get off the ark, they might have gotten just a little bit twitchy if it started to rain. In our Old Testament reading from Genesis, God repeats his promise to them over and over and over again. Because as Martin Luther writes, "Therefore they could not be talked out of their fear and terror by a word or two. A great abundance of words was needed to drive back their tears and to soften their grief." With the promise of the rainbow, they do not need to fear the rain. God will never again destroy the world with water. The rainbow is a great comfort to Noah and his family and also to you. But there is more. There is more depth to the meaning of the rainbow. For the rainbow is also a warning.
God made his covenant with Noah to never again destroy the world with water, because God did destroy the world. God is capable of judgment and destruction, and he will destroy the world again, only this time with fire. The rainbow's colors progress from violet, indigo, and blue, the colors of water, to yellow, orange, and red, the colors of fire. The rainbow is a comfort and a warning. God is a God of mercy, but he's also a God of judgment, and judgment day is coming, and a rainbow reminds you of this. Judgment day is coming. We hear in Matthew 3, "Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And his winnowing fork is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Judgment is coming. The wages of sin is death. You are a sinner and you deserve God's punishment now and forever. And the rainbow reminds you of God's past and future judgment. And the thought of God's judgment can bring great fear. But with the rainbow, there is also rain. The rain reminds you of another of God's signs. The rain reminds you of God's new covenant with you in water and the word in holy baptism. God has a covenant with you, a promise sealed in the waters of baptism that you are his forever. God has promised to forgive you all your sins, and he has given you eternal life in the blood of Jesus. We read in 1 Peter 3, "God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Noah and his family, eight souls in all, were preserved safely through the water. The children of Israel came safely through the water of the Red Sea. Jesus is baptized in the Jordan, and you have come safely into the kingdom of God through the waters of baptism. Eight in the Bible is a number of new beginnings. The eighth day was the first day of the new creation. Eight people came through the waters of the flood on the ark. Jewish boys were marked with the sign of God's covenant with Abraham on the eighth day of their lives. Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday, the eighth day. And so baptismal fonts often are constructed with eight sides to remind you of your new beginnings, baptized into Christ. The number eight and the rainbow are reminders of your new birth in Christ. Jesus suffered and died to pay for the sins of the world, including your sins. Jesus rose from the dead, and death has lost its victory. Jesus has given you these gifts in baptism, and he continues to pour out his gifts in his words of forgiveness and giving you his very body and blood in Holy Communion. And God's promise to you is sealed with water. And water is a great reminder of his promise. Let the sight or the feel of water in rivers and lakes, in the pool, in the shower, at the sink, falling from the sky, let the water remind you to confess, "I am baptized into Christ." Each morning when you rise and each evening before you go to sleep, remember your baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And when you see a rainbow, an arc of refracted light, remember Noah and his ark of refuge, and rejoice in God's promise to Noah and God's promise to you. God will never again destroy the world with water. And in the waters of baptism, you are saved from the coming judgment. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
Prayers today, remember Carol Knott recovering from cancer treatments, for Becky Crossman who has cancer, for Jess Snell, Allen, the Leva's son who's in hospice care at home, for Brandon Borchers, a friend of Natalie Reeders, brought home on hospice, for Michael Stolenberg, the nephew of Pastor Jane Camps, having complications from brain surgeries, for Phil Harvey receiving cancer treatments, for Mandy Allen who's been hospitalized with COVID, for Dick Tendon who's on hospice care, for David Hine and Bulwark's father who's been hospitalized. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In great praise to him who rules the earth, sea, and sky, and thanksgiving for the blessings of creation and life that comes from his abundant goodness, the God who gives boldness to speak of his awesome deeds and sing always of his righteousness. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church, that our Lord, who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, would be glorified in this church and in Christ Jesus. And that he would ground us in love, give us a faith rooted in Christ's promises, and strengthen us to comprehend with all the saints his love that surpasses knowledge. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
To the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would bless our families, even as he blessed Noah, bringing forth new life under his promises. For all marriages, that he would make them strong and fruitful according to his will, and for every home, that God's word would rule there, uniting it in forgiveness and causing Christ to dwell in every heart through faith. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our country, God, that the Lord of might would spare us and future generations from wickedness. For our leaders, that by God's blessing they would rule according to his good pleasure, and for God's protection over our armed forces, police, and all public servants. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and those in need, especially Carolyn, Becky, Jeff, Brenda, Michael, Flo, Manny, Dick, and David, that God would give healing and protection, encouraging them in this life by the recognition of his fatherly providence, known through Christ our Savior. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the communion of God, would not allow our hearts to become hardened by the indifference or by any frustration in this world, but that he would lead us to his blessed sacrament with repentance and faith, to receive there the forgiveness of sins and confidence according to Christ's New Testament. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever.
Thank you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him the death that we may not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns through all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Same way also took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. the body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in true faith of the life everlasting. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven.
salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us